wonderful move of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit helped us to pray, it was a prophetic time. And it was a time of pouring out our hearts in His presence. And one of the things that He gave us was that the enemy creates the ashes, the Lord creates the beauty. He gives beauty for ashes. And the enemy creates the mourning, but the Lord creates the oil of joy for that mourning. All of these oppressions and all of these things of the enemy, the Lord comes to give us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. The enemy gives the heaviness. The Lord gives the garment of praise. This is something that needs to be firmly established in our minds. I believe because of really some wrong doctrine about God, that people think God gives you all these junky things. He doesn't. He's not in the discouraging business. He's not in the destroying business. He's not in the tearing down business. He is in the building up. Jesus said, I will build my church. The enemy said, I will do my best to tear it down. Jesus builds, the enemy disintegrates. In every area of our life, we need to understand this, that the Lord is a restorer. It's His very nature. Whatever He finds in a state of crumbling or in a state of deterioration, He immediately begins to rebuild that. As He sees the woman at the well, or the woman taken in adultery, or the Gadarene demoniac, He doesn't send them back to school. He doesn't put them in jail for a period of time. He simply restores them and sets them on their way to have a whole new life and a whole new day, because that's what Jesus came for. When we understand that, and then He said, now the works that I have done, I expect you to do. Then we know that our calling is to bring restoration. Restoration in the home, restoration in the church, restoration to anybody, any place that we are, to help make the way for the return of Jesus Christ. God is a God of restoration. He doesn't leave things that He's created on the trash heap. And when man makes a mess and causes destruction, God sets a plan to restore. That's His nature, because He's life and He promises to make all things new. And when He created the earth and He said it was good, there was nothing wrong with the earth, man messed it up. But He set man over His creation. And when man failed, He set about to restore that destruction by sending the last Adam, who made everything right and gave us the way back to the garden again with all the blessings and the daily communion with God and dominion, because that's what Adam lost. Everything the first Adam lost, the last Adam regained for us. And in His name, we are builders of that reality and restoration. You know, 2 Peter 3:13 says, we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth, which I preached about last time. And He has promised a world filled with God's righteousness. That's the end of it all. It is not going to end up like, oh, the world's so bad. It's getting worse and worse. No, it isn't. Bad things are happening, but if you look out long enough, it's getting better and better. We got to get over this hump of difficulty, which is called sin. And the failure of man. And then He is going to give back to us again a righteous world. He promised thrones to those who follow Him, as in Matthew 19:28. He said, I assure you that when the world is made new, what I tell you, and we're not stuck with this world. He's going to make the world new. This is not a dream anymore. Things are beginning to start winding down now. And the Son of Man sits upon His glorious throne. You who have been my followers will also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How in the world is this ever going to happen, starting now from where we are? In case you are not awakened to the fact that things have really changed in the last, say, 30 years, we live in a different world today, and we can't simply sit and whittle in front of the fan and somehow think God's going to come make everything better. We're a part of the answer to the problem. That's why He empowered us. That's why He put us here, is to have dominion and to set that dominion in His name. So Peter preached this. Here's how it's going to happen. Acts 3, 21, 22, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Jesus must remain in the heavens until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through His holy prophets. Now, the thing that holds Jesus, the thing that keeps Him from returning to the earth, is that He's waiting for all things to be restored that were spoken by the prophets that are going to be restored. That's what keeps Jesus in the heavens. Oswald Smith, or one of those people, wrote a book called Bringing Back the King. And he said, the main reason Jesus hasn't returned is that we haven't preached the gospel to all nations. Jesus Himself said, the gospel must be preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what Jesus said. That's why we must be involved in missions. Thank God. Thank God for the love of missions that fills this house, that I could hear in our prayers and through the way the Spirit was working this morning. The gospel has got to be preached to the whole earth, and then shall the end come. See, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out His Spirit to empower His church to restore what the prophets had spoken. That's when the power to restore began. It's when He poured out His Holy Spirit. The power was not there, and that's why Peter could now preach this. And he's going to quote out of what the prophet spoke, the prophet Joel. And he's saying, this is that. What we have been waiting for, now the time has come. Peter quoted Joel, and since that day, the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of Jesus Christ, which is the fivefold ministry, are restoring God's promises so that all things can be made new. That's the other end of it. The purpose is so all things could be made new. So I want to remind you of that glorious scripture again. Acts 2, verses 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out of My Spirit even on My servants, and men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke, and the sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this is not some scary time that everybody needs to dread. It's the time, it's the breakthrough that salvation is going to flow like a river. And going back to that prophecy from Azusa Street, in about 100 years, there's going to be a revival much, much greater than that revival, which will last until Jesus returns. Now that is the word that has been brought forth. We're a little bit over that 100-year mark, which means we are really ripe. That's why you're so hungry and frustrated and agitated and disgusted with the status quo, because you don't want the status quo anymore, and I don't either. And we need to do everything we can to be a part of the people who change that. Now, I want to remind you of something again. I alluded to the blood moons. I often mused over this scripture here, and as I read Joel and as I read what Peter said about it. Before that day comes, there's going to be signs in heaven and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke, and the sun will turn dark. Now, here's what I shared with you before, and when I was in conversation with two or three people, they thought they must not have been here that day, which means I need to share it again. Be awake this time. NASA calls moons that are red blood moons. The blood moons happen during a total lunar eclipse. The next series, by the way, there's a whole book on this by John Hagee, if you'd like to read it. And I understand that John Kilpatrick's been teaching on this. The next series of four blood moons occurs beginning April 15, 2014. Go to bed a few times, and that's when this next time happens, which is Passover. The next one is October 8th, same year, the Feast of Tabernacles. There will be a solar eclipse, which is all a part of it. The sun shall be dark. March 20th, 2015. There will be another blood moon, April 15th, same date, 2015, Passover. And the last one will be September 28th, 2015. Why is this important? In 500 years, this tetrarch has only happened three other times. In 500 years. And it will not happen again and after this during the 21st century. When did it occur previously? Now listen carefully. 1493, 1949, and 1967. Something very important happened right around the time of each of these. Not just important, it was groundbreaking, earth-shaking. In 1492, as you know, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. The Jews were driven out of Spain. The wealth was taken to finance Columbus's journey to America. America became a country that received the Jews and became a place of great blessing. Then the next one happened in 1949. In 1948, Israel became a nation. And the great 1948 revival began. The heavens burst wide open. 1967 was the Six-Day War in which Israel defeated the Arab nations who attacked. The charismatic renewal began. I was born again, finally. And a lot of other people I know were saved that year and began works that year. Jesus told us when he will be released from heaven to earth. Matthew 24:14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." People are keeping close records. Of course, this doesn't say nations here. It says ethnos, which means ethnic groups of people. Unreached people groups have to be reached. There's so few left because so much ground has been covered. Did you know that when I preached to that Muslim congregation where many raised their hand in Mozambique, did you know that's an unreached people group that I was preaching to? In fact, they're written down. There's a word for it, something like impossible to reach people group. And that's where Heidi and Roland Baker are just blowing that theory away by raising up 9,000 churches in 10 years or 10,000 in 9 years. Something wonderful like that. But this is why we've got to be involved in missions with our hearts, because this is part of what's going to bring back the King, is that the gospel. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom." This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Not just the good news. The gospel of the kingdom. This one, Jesus said. The one he was then demonstrating by casting out devils and raising the dead. And he said, If I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. And he said, I'm the one who has the gospel of the kingdom. I not only preach it, I demonstrate it. Not only that, I establish you in it so that you begin to establish my glorious kingdom. Through the outpouring of the Spirit and the gifts, we've been empowered to have visions and dream dreams, as Peter said, we've got to do. Did you know in order to get this gospel in the whole world, it's got to be the kingdom gospel? There is not enough spiritual strength if you don't have the gifts of the Spirit, if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, you remember Leonard Fox, how humorous he was. We were sitting on a platform together someplace, some other place, and he leans back and he says to me, you know what, sis? It's not enough to be a good preacher anymore. Now they're wanting you to be spiritual. I believe that day is right here. It's not enough to preach anymore. It's not enough to have a wowie zow band anymore. It's not enough for people to be busy and have a lot of events. It's not enough anymore to get a lot of people in the pews. Now you've got to be spiritual. Now you've got to have the power of God. Because the time of breakthrough is at hand, and this is what we've been raised up for. It's this gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said, has to be preached to all ethnos. Then will the kingdom come. You know, when I see the news about Ukraine, my heart just really breaks. I'm so glad, though, that we had the input that we did. And that our TV station went out very, our TV program went out very broadly. We actually had the messages that I was preaching at the time here in the church. That's how we followed up our visits there. How many people received Jesus because of that? And how many other people, ministers and churches, have been doing similar things since that window opened to us after the collapse of the Soviet Union? We have now the power to dream dreams, have visions, and fulfill, and thus fulfill our destiny. The gospel of the kingdom cannot be preached without the recovery and restoration of the truth of the full gospel, because that's the power of it. It's really sad and very pitiful that that's what the Holy Spirit was given to us for, and so many people have twisted the whole meaning of the giving of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But in spite of all of that, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, you know, at Azusa Street, the Holy Spirit was outpoured in such a fantastic way, people could not deny it. In 1948, the Spirit was outpoured again, even in a more mature way, with the fivefold ministry and the gifts of the Spirit, so that people could become truly established and strengthened. And this is what God has given us to live and preach, to prepare for His return. The gospel of the kingdom is not fully preached. If the gospel of the kingdom is not fully preached, Jesus will be held in the heavens. Some people are just all into this thing of, you know, He could come any minute, da, da, da. I don't think so. I don't think He's going to come. He said He's not going to come until the restoration of all things spoken by the prophets. Now, not the restoration of everything, but the restoration of all things spoken by the prophets. The number of Pentecostal charismatics has increased from 1910. There was 600 million at that time. Azusa Street was 1906. But today it is 3.5 billion. Just put that in perspective. One out of every Christian is charismatic Pentecostal. One out of every four. Just prophesying, don't mind me. One out of every Christian is a Pentecostal. Wouldn't that be a great day? I think I was speaking in tongues. I think it was great. One out of every four, 25%. One in four in the world today. Think about it. If you go to Latin American, especially Latin American countries and African countries, they have been so absolutely turned around, and they have churches there that are 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. They have huge churches because they've been free to walk in this truth. Same thing in Africa. All the nations, more people born again in Africa every day than are born. And so many, so many, so many, so many preaching this gospel. And sending missionaries. Africa's sending missionaries to America today. That's fine. I appreciate it. I preached one time, not hadn't been too long ago, at one of the churches called Church of the Redeemed, based in Nigeria, where they have 1 million people come on Friday night for a prayer meeting. Miracles happen all night. 1 million people. And so they've planted some churches in America. And you know what I told them when I preached there? I said, oh, the service was great today. The worship was wonderful. But here's a word I have for you. Get this out into the city of Atlanta. Don't keep it here. Because I could tell that they were just simply enjoying what they had. In order to fulfill our calling and destiny, we've got to maintain the empowerment of Pentecost. The empower that was given on Pentecost. And the gifts of Christ, the fivefold. This power only comes out of prayer and worship. Remember in Acts 13, the scripture says, they fasted and prayed, and the Holy Ghost said. You have to pray and worship and seek God. And out of that reality where you break down the spirits of darkness, then God can speak and you can hear. It's hard for some people to appreciate the power of prayer and worship to make an atmosphere that lets God speak. But I'll give you an example. This past week, I was both in Phoenix and Columbus, Georgia. And when I was in Columbus, Georgia, I was with Ruth Peterson. Remember, she comes to our conference this year. And she's a very successful pastor of a large church and more than one church over in North Carolina. And she made this statement. I mean, I just wish you could have gotten this picture. We went to Ron Cottle's 80th birthday party. It, by the way, don't feel sorry for him. He's in better shape than a lot of us. Plays golf every day, super dandy. I don't know how long he's going to be around. It's hard to say. So we were walking down the hotel corridor from that, and Ruth starts her little soliloquy. I don't know why in the world. She said, I heard Victor Wadding there, and he said, why would anybody ever want to leave this place where there's such an anointing, where the price has been paid, where the presence of God is? And she said, I was sitting there saying in my spirit, amen, amen, amen. And she said, I'll tell you something, Dr. Sue, most people don't know how to appreciate the anointing presence of the living God. And when an atmosphere has been built in a place, what does it do for you while you are sitting there? What does that atmosphere? She's preaching to me going down the hallway. I'm saying, yeah. And she said, you know, the last time I was there, you know, I'm just sitting there. And she said, Prophet Victor comes back to me and he says, are you going to be here tomorrow? And I said, no, I can't be here tomorrow. He said, well, then I'll pray for you now. Your side's really bothering you, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's about to kill me, she says. He just laid his hand on me, told me what it was, and I was healed. Now she said, you know, I'm sitting there, but here's what I love about coming to Shekinah. Here's what she told me. From the time that I turn onto the property, I feel such glorious peace. When I get into the meetings where the worship is, she said, now if you're not sensitive, you won't know this. But when I get where the worship is, everything opens. And I can hear God where I haven't heard him before. Hallelujah. I mean, this is an apostle, a very strong apostle saying this. Olin Griffin has said, whenever I've been in heavy, heavy problems, every time I come to the June conference, God meets me and gives me my answers. He said, I move heaven and earth to get there. I'm only saying that to say that these are their testimonies. And it's the power of prayer and worship, the sacrificial life laid out before God, that causes the Holy Spirit to feel welcome in our midst. Do you see that? Because God has visited us more than once in sovereign revival, we know we're called to be keepers of the flame and to impart and pass on these truths. Now, if you've been asleep, wake up now. It's not going to be much longer, but I'm going to say something you really want to hear. I should write in my margin, wake the people up at this point. John Kilpatrick has been saying, Judy told me, John told me, I think I've got it. I haven't heard it myself. That beginning the 1st of March, there's going to be 100 days where we will be redefined. And that really rang in my spirit because that's what I'm talking to us about today. I want you to be redefined, each of you, as individuals. I want this church to redefine. I want everybody to understand clearly what we've been empowered to do, what God's purpose is among us. To impart and pass on these truths that God has entrusted to us. The word, this is a church of legacy. This is Heidi Baker. This is a church of legacy. She said it over and over. It will burn brightly until Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Which ain't going to be quite as long as I thought it might be, but it'll be a little while. Don't put on Facebook, Sue Curran says, it's going to be a while before Jesus. Even Jesus doesn't know. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm just a worshiper. Whenever he comes, I want to be found worshiping him. I'm not going to have to hurry up and change my life around when I see him coming through the clouds. Because I'm going to be found loving him. As long as he gives me grace, my heart will be full of Jesus. I'll just say, thank God, thank God, thank God. We received revelation to operate in the truths, prayer, worship, revival, the reality of the presence of God. The Lord gave us revelation so that we could do that. It was entrusted to us as our part in the restoration of all things spoken by the prophets. This is our part. By the Spirit, he gave us the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the opening to dreams and visions. And I don't know how many times in the past, maybe a year and a half, I've been told. It's a church of legacy. Pass on the. I've been told this by prophets. Well, I have an advantage over you. I go a lot more places where there's a lot of prophets. But when I was at this conference this past week, I had a meeting with Iverna Tompkins. Iverna is one snazzy girl. She is 85 years old. She got some of these colored streaks in the front of her hair. Looks great. It looks great. She just gets around great. She preached a house down. I brought that DVD back for some of you all to hear because she tells us where we are right now. And she said to me, you know how much I love Shekinah. And you know how I am impressed, how impressed I am with what God has done there. And she's talked to me through the years and mentored me and counseled with me anytime that I have needed to. She's been very faithful, and especially since Judson died. She said, but I have a word for you. And the word is, I know you want to hear what the Lord is saying. And I have a word for you. Give yourself to imparting the spiritual truths that God has entrusted specifically to you. Like those truths of prayer and worship and revival, on some truths that others have not embraced. Because this is the power wherewith we will do the work looking toward the future. God has put this within you and entrusted you with it, and you must get it passed on to others and on to the children. Put it, now these are her words, put it into them that are seasoned and willing to carry the responsibility to pass these things along to those of any age that are coming up. In other words, you can't just sit here, team. You're not just here just listening to me, think I can do better this week than I did last week, you hope. You are here because you are a part of this plan that God has. This restoration, our part in it, is for you to take these things and put them into other people. Stay focused, she said. Why would she say that? Stay focused on transferring these important things the Spirit has taught you. Listen to this word. Cause. She used the word put and cause. I sort of got a picture of me going, no, you're going to get this. Open up your mouth like Popeye, you know. I'm going to open this can of spinach. There you go. Now go, oh, you got it. Cause. Put. I know what that means. That's not about you. That's about me. That's about me having a determination. Some of you are going to get this so deeply and so powerfully that you can't do anything with it but pass it on to others, or you'll explode. You'll be so full of it. Cause them, listen, cause them to understand and embrace the vision. Don't just be kicking around here wondering if you know what we're going to be doing next. We've said the vision many, many times. Embrace it. Embrace the vision. Embrace the vision. It's so much deeper than events or the things we do or what we're involved in. It's a deep vision of the Spirit, of prayer and worship and sacrifice and yielding to the will of God and being instruments and channels of revival when He allows us to be. And then she smiled. Because, you know, I've been told this most recently in Sheboygan in November. I had this word started like this, impart, impart, impart. Into whomever is willing to receive this grace and anointing upon your heart. God said, give it to them. Impart and lay on hands. Give them your Spirit so they will carry on even what I've called you to do. Give them your Spirit and give them your heart. Now, you're not going to have my heart unless you're just a little bit crazy and you have to make up your mind. You can't have my heart and be so terribly balanced. You can't serve God with your finger on your pulse. You've got to throw it in and believe that God will give you manyfold back again for anything that you give up. You can't reserve yourself for something better. There ain't nothing better. There ain't nothing better than being square in the vision of God. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you were alive when the Lord made His breakthrough in the Salvation Army and you were not a part of that, you might as well have been dead. Oh, they had glorious Holy Ghost times in those early days. And if you were alive in the time of the early Pentecostal outpouring and you were not a part of that, you may as well have been dead. You were not doing the thing that God is wanting to be done, that He's giving the Spirit for. So when I was in Sheboygan, impart, impart, impart into whomsoever is willing to receive this grace and anointing on your heart. And I know that this means to people outside the church too, and to pastors, and I know that I'm supposed to do media, and I know that I'm supposed to write books, and that's all another part of it. But I'm preaching to you today. Don't throw it back at me. I'm preaching to you. That's right, Pastor. Go on and write books. We're fine. No. God said, give it to them. Impart and lay hands. Give them your spirit so they will carry on even what I've called you to do. I have really appreciated these words that I've gotten in the past few months. Maybe it's been a year and a half. The reason I've appreciated them is that I want the Lord to say to me, what is valuable to you? What do you want extended? What do you want to continue? How should I be spending my time? What is really important for me to be doing? And I hope that in my message today, I've given you a little bit better understanding of a broader picture. We live in a day where things could start happening really quickly. And communications, electronic systems, all these things. I mean, I heard on TV last night that it is even possible. We know that I think it was Iran, some of these places, actually took over a drone. Iran took over a drone, landed it. One of ours. And made it their own. So the question has been asked. How much taking over could they have done on the 777? What a day we live in. Scary, except when these things start to come, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. When things begin to change drastically. When people begin to say, if we don't have God, but you see what's going to happen, is there's going to come a great revival. And in that great revival, there's going to be raised up. I've wondered about this for a long time. I really have. I've heard about the great revival, and I've said to the Lord, I don't know, Lord, if people are interested enough to have a great revival. I mean, they might not have time. People have it pretty scheduled. You know what he said? The revival will give it to them. Some people will want the revival enough to make a way for it to come in. And others will be drawn into that wave, you know, when a wave goes out. Boy, you ever stand in the ocean and see the tremendous power that comes when that. And that's what's going to happen. You're just going to be swept in. And those of you that said, well, I would never want to spend all day praying. You're going to, at that time, you're going to say, leave me alone, I want to pray. Because the Holy Ghost is going to do it. And I've told you before, don't be afraid that you're going to be bored by revival. I think life can be boring without revival. But now, with revival, every day is going to be marvelous. So, here's the burden of my heart today. Can we get Andre and Carrie in here? They won't fall in a ditch or anything if we get them. I just want them to be a part of this praying. Thank you. My usher back there is going to see what he can do. Because I want to pray for some people today, but here's what I want to do. I felt the Lord said, let the river flow. Let's begin to get some things in motion. I sense today that it's a prophetic day, a couple of prophetic words that we had today. Don't you love it? I love it when the Spirit of God begins to flow that way. Seasoned. Let me see what this word was. And I also tell you, before I pray, that I had a nice visit with Heidi Baker. And Heidi Baker is working on getting back to us. And so we'll see when it will be. I know that she very much wants to do it. And while we were there, Heidi just told a person who was interviewing her, Sue Curran's here, you really need to be interviewing her. And so that gave me an opportunity to get my new book out, I think, over a pretty broad area. That was a handful on purpose, wasn't it? So, you know, all of these good things are happening. There's a lot of people out there that want God, church. Just because we know a lot of people who are just going through the motions, God will always have his remnant. Oral Roberts told Sandra Kennedy, Sandra, go after the remnant. That means go after the people that really want God. Pour yourself into them. Then when revival comes, they can pour themselves into others. You get that? Okay, so the terminology was put it into those that are seasoned and willing to carry the responsibility to pass these things along. Now, that's one group of people. Seasoned and willing to pass these things along. If that's you, I want you to stand. Actually, I want you to come right up here. A seasoned. Hey, seasoned means you've been around a little while. And willing for God to use you to pass these things along. That's okay. This is not everybody that I'm talking to, because there's going to be something for you as well. Because I felt the Lord showed me how to pray for you, how these things are to be. The enemy, now, you seasonable people, I want to tell you this. The enemy pulled off this big deal where he tried to tell some of you that it's for the young people, and we older people don't count, or we don't matter, or else we're tired and we just need to sit down and let things go on. But the real fact is, there's going to be young people that God's really going to use, middle-aged people, young people, people younger than you, but they won't do it without you. That's the real truth. And I want them to do it with me. I want them to do it. But I know that I have a vital part in that, and you do. We've got to take our place and do our part. Why would we want to have invested as much as we have all these years into what God has given us if we didn't think it was going to be carried on? Yeah. Now, Heidi Baker said, this is the will of God, that this church is going to burn brightly. If it burns brightly, it can't burn with a kind of fire, right. A sort of fire. It's got to burn with a real Holy Ghost fire. It's your responsibility to get the vision into people younger than you are, anywhere along the way, new people coming in the church, anybody you have the opportunity to do this with, so that what you have invested here can last till Jesus comes as one generation passes it on to another. She also said, get it into people that are strong and young, and get it into the children. When Iverna was here and ministered once, was in a pastor's conference, and a 3-year-old little boy, this was during revival, of course. What was his name?
Michael Cowles.
He came and asked me for the microphone. Iverna has this in one of her books. That I said, oh, she's going to let that little kid ruin this wonderful worship service. He gets the microphone. He was going to sing the song of the Lord. But about that time, the pianist changed the key. He was smart enough to know, you know. So instead of singing, he just spoke. I still have it written down, what he spoke. And the Lord is in this place. The Lord is here to bless this people tonight. Da-da-da-da-da. Verna said, I could have picked myself up off the floor. Revival gets people of every age in it. You can't make kids be spiritual, but you can expose them to spiritual realities, and you can teach them, and you can bring them in. Andre and Carrie, I just was sharing with them this word from Iverna Tompkins. I wanted you to be here for this prayer, where she says, God, give yourself to imparting the spiritual truths that God has entrusted specifically to you, prayer, worship, revival, and the presence of God. The vision God has placed within you. Get it passed on to the children. Put it into those that are seasoned and willing to carry the responsibility to pass these things along to those coming up. Stay focused on transferring these important things the Spirit has taught you. Cause them to understand and embrace the vision. And I believe that God... And so I ask for anybody that would respond to the description of seasoned and willing. You're seasoned in the things of God to some extent. You didn't get born again yesterday or the day before. How many of you here have been saved 40 years or more? That's wonderful. How many have been saved 20 years or more? See, this is good. Isn't this good? 10. Okay. Now, so you're back there putting your little squirmy hand up, huh? Okay, all right. Nah, just kidding you, Sandy. So, the only way that I know to say this is that I believe that specifically this is the time and this is the hour, if you receive it, an impartation will come by the Spirit of God. And you will no longer say, well, I'm not, well, I can't, well, I was glad when my time was over, well, I didn't want. All of that is going to be thrown off of you because that's the enemy's oppression to your gift. It is never the will of God for you to think you can't do the things that God has gifted you and set you to do. Now, you don't want to be proud about it. I know that I can preach, but if I pray and stay in the Word, I preach a whole lot better, you understand? So we can do some things. Some of us can do some things. And we need to be doing those things that we can do. So are you ready to receive impartation? What I want you to do is I want you to hold hands. Would you just get where you can hold hands? And then, Fran, let me hold your hand as a point of contact to everybody else. Don't let this be broken, okay? Everybody's holding everybody's hand. Yeah, that's good.